Imperial, this is their year. They must be playing defensive. Schmeichel's not coming up for this one. Thinks he's done enough. Is this their moment?
Hello and welcome to the United Community Podcast in what has been a frustrating week for Manchester United. 48 shots in two games and one goal scored. So, ordinary enough, our topic tonight is going to be about Manchester United's pursuit of a new striker and who we could potentially get. So we're going to run through some of the options on maybe who Manchester United should get, who maybe I might want, who Erik ten Hag might want, and the type of money that Manchester United are actually going to provide to ten Hag in relation to getting a new striker in. And also, should we be maybe going for it in January, or should we hold out to the summer to get maybe a top tier target? So we're going to be discussing that and much more. I'm on my own tonight. Ricey couldn't make it. So I'm live on YouTube and on TikTok at the moment, so it's going to be a very interactive podcast. So I hope everyone can get their thoughts and their comments in on the chat, and we'll answer some of them. So a bit different tonight, but I hope you enjoy it, as you always do. If you do, wherever you're listening, please do leave a 5-star review. But let's get into it. One goal. So I think it's pretty clear over the last few games that Manchester United do need to improve their forward line. They do need to improve their finishing. Their conversion rate has to go up as well. I think it's pretty obvious. And I think Ten Hag knows it. He certainly does. I think Ten Hag has been working around the basis of, and I think he's probably doing it in the right way as well. He's looking at maybe strengthening our defence first and foremost. Make us hard to break down. Make us hard to beat. Hard to maybe score goals against. And I think we are improving in them areas. Absolutely we are. We're seeing, you know, good relationships building across our back four. Of course, the main one being Martinez and Varane. And I think over the last couple of games that we did miss Varane, I think it was quite obvious to see how important he is to the team. Also, you see the likes of Luke Shaw coming in there as well over the last couple of games. And he's certainly been taking his chance. Obviously, Malacia is new to the club. He's young. He's certainly hungry. So I think there's good competition there as well. And Dalot has certainly upped his game as well. Now, that position at right back is probably the most secure position on the team, given the fact that we don't really have any competition for Dalot. Now, obviously, Ten Hag said in his interview that, you know, Lindelof can play there. And obviously, we still have Wan-Bissaka, but Wan-Bissaka looks to be a million miles away from Erik ten Hag's plans. I think Erik ten Hag is doing the right thing in relation to building from the back up, making us hard to beat, making it hard to score goals against us. And once he has that solid foundation, it gives you that platform to kick on. And unfortunately, over the last few games, we just haven't been taking our chances when they've fallen to us. So we're going to get into some options. And there's been some talk about it today as well. Fabrizio Romano has been mentioning some options that we're going to get into as well. Dale, thanks for the gifts on TikTok. Really appreciate it, pal. Keep smashing the like button for us as well, guys. We're going to try and get to 5,000 likes on TikTok before the end. And anyone watching on YouTube, hit the thumbs up button for me as well. Helps out the channel an awful lot. So yeah, let's jump into it. And look, obviously, the main striker that we've been linked with more than anybody else in the last, you know, few weeks, and even going back into the transfer window in the summer, is Cody Gakpo. Now, Cody Gakpo obviously is coming from, again, the Dutch league, so you would believe that Ten Hag knows the player, knows what he's all about, and knows, I suppose, whether he wants to sign for Manchester United or not, I think. And I think that's quite important as well. Now, by all accounts, you know, throughout the summer, Cody Gakpo was potentially, well, not potentially, he was pretty much pushing for a move to Manchester United. And Look, I don't think he would be a bad option for United. He's 23 years of age. He can play in a number of different positions. He can play a centre forward. He can play in the right wing. He probably primarily plays off of the left wing more than anything else. But look, I do think he would be a good option. And we've ran through his stats before, you know, when we were looking at him back in the summer. But if we look at this season alone, he's played 10 games in the Eredivisie. He scored 9 goals and he's had 7 assists, which is absolutely phenomenal. And if you look at the Europa League as well, he's played 3 games with 3 goals and 1 assist. So it's been very, very good figures for Cody Gakpo. And he's making a very good, strong argument for a team like Manchester United to go out and get him. You know, now Fabrizio Romano was speaking today in relation to Cody Gakpo. He was asked about it. I think he was on the United stand. And he said, Manchester United have a great relationship with the agents of Cody Gakpo due to them being the same agents as Erik ten Hag, as well as the contact over the summer in regards to the player. So some positive news there, if that was the type of player we are going to go out and look at. And look, I wouldn't be disappointed if we did go out and get him. I think it's the kind of profile of player that we're looking to get in, that Erik ten Hag wants to get in. Young, hungry players on maybe their first or second contract, that's looking to make a name for themselves, that's in the ascendancy, more so than, you know, the twilight of their career. So I certainly wouldn't be against it, absolutely not. And asked then as well, Fabrizio was asked whether Manchester United would potentially even make a move for him. He didn't give a definitive answer, but he said if United really want Gakpo, it will be time to move for him in January. So that does give us a good option to go on out and getting a striker in January. It sounds like a deal could potentially be done. And we all know how reliable Fabrizio Romano is when it comes to these kind of, I suppose, stories and I suppose just general transfer news. So I think it wouldn't be a bad signing to go out and get in January. Now again, look, I have mentioned it before, if we are to go out and sign a striker in January, I hope we do go and get a striker that we're looking at long term. You know, I don't want us to sign a striker for the sake of signing one, and I hope we would, you know, if we were going to do that just to get us through, you know, the next 6 months, if, you know, Ronaldo, you know, doesn't start scoring goals and Martial continues to get injured, I think we should hold off until the summer and go for a striker that we could potentially have for the next 5, 6, 7 years. And I hope we don't rush into anything. But yeah, Cody Gakpo is certainly an option there. Let's see what people are saying here. Stephen is in and says, or John says, United and Tottenham will be tricky one on Wednesday. It certainly will. I'll be doing my match preview tomorrow, so keep an eye out for it. Stephen says, I think we need to buy Tony in January. What do you think? Yeah, I'm going to get into Tony now. He's the next one I was about to talk about, Stephen. I have a question for you, please. Well, shoot away there. And Jay says, I seen him against Celtic and Rangers. I thought he was lazy. Okay, there we go. And of course, look, everyone's going to have their own different opinions. Chris is in. Good to see you, pal. Is Gakpo a true number 9? I thought he was more of a winger. He can play both. He can. And again, given how young he is, you know, he's played as a striker, you know, and, you know, for a big proportion of his career, but he would be primarily a winger, I would have to say. I do agree with you there. But it all comes down to what Erik ten Hag is looking for. Is he looking for one of these kind of out-and-out number nines, or is he looking for a player who can play as a number 9 and also as a winger? Because I do certainly think we need to sign another wide player. I really do. I don't think we're shooting on all cylinders in that area either. But let's get on to the next one. The next one, obviously, and the main one, you know, that locally within the Premier League, that Dan, good to see you, pal. You know, the main one that people are talking about is Ivan Toney. And obviously, Ivan Toney, Brentford player, used to the Premier League now, 2 seasons in the Premier League. Well, technically 3. He actually played, he actually had 2 appearances in the Premier League in the 15-16 season for Newcastle. So technically his third season, but he didn't score any goals or any assists at that time. So since Brentford have been promoted, he's basically put up some very good numbers. The 21-22 season, 33 games played in the Premier League, 12 goals scored and 5 assists. And then this year so far, he's played 10 games so far, obviously, in the Premier League, and he scored 8 goals with 2 assists. So his goal-scoring record in the Premier League is basically a goal every other game, which is, you know, when you're playing, with all due respect, with a team like Brentford, that is pretty impressive numbers, you have to say. And, you know, if we were looking at going out and getting Ivan Toney, you would probably get him for around anywhere between maybe 40 and 50 million euro, I would presume. So I certainly do think he would be a good option. He is in his prime. He's 26 years of age. So he's not a 20, 21, 22-year-old. You're going to be getting a player maybe for the next 3 to 4 years that's going to be, you know, in his prime. Now, if Manchester United and Erik ten Hag are looking more long-term than that, then maybe he might not be the option. And maybe you do go for a Cody Gakpo, who's 22, 23, and some other options maybe that I might, you know, get into in a moment. But I certainly do think that Ivan Toney is a good option for Manchester United. And like Chris is saying there, he would prefer Toney over Gakpo. And when we're looking at Ivan Toney more so, you are looking at a centre forward, a big, strong number 9 centre forward. And I think that is probably what Manchester United are going to be leaning towards in January, if possible, and into the summer as well. So I think Ivan Toney would be a very good option. I certainly do. He's, you know, he's proven in the Premier League. He's a good age. His stats back up, you know, and you're not going to be taken to the cleaners in relation to a transfer fee. So now, you know what happens when Manchester United come along, just bang, stick 20 million extra on. But I do think you could get him for anywhere between 40 and 50 million euro. So absolutely, you know, I would think he's a good option there. Let's see what people are saying here. Dan is in, good to see it, Dan. Claire says, I think Ten Hag needed to let Ronaldo go instead of benching him, says Claire. Yeah, look, and when it comes to Cristiano Ronaldo, I mean, I still believe that Erik Ten Hag would have been happy to let him go in the summer if a suitable option had to come in for him. Now, I think Cristiano Ronaldo's wages and the transfer fee that would, you know, clubs would have had to pay for him, I just think maybe that the price tag scared a lot of clubs off, you know. So I do think if an offer had to come in for Cristiano Ronaldo during the summer, I think Ten Hag, you know, would have been happy to let him go. I really do. Midge's man is in, good to see you. And he says, we need a striker, but I'm not sure who would fit Ten Hag's style of play. There we go. Well, that's a $1 million question, you know, and it's something that we can, you know, speculate on, you know, until the cows come home. Ten Hag knows his system. He knows the type of players that fit into it. And we'll find that out sooner or later when we do eventually go out and get a striker. Stephen says, well, bud, bad result yesterday. Toney would be a good signing. We need a striker. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Bad result. And it goes back to what we were saying. We are creating some good opportunities, but we're not taking them. And that's the issue, you know. So, like I said, I think 48 shots we've had in total in the last 2 games, whether that be on target, off target, or block shots. So 48 in total, and we've scored 1 goal. So we do certainly need that. You know, that 6-yard box striker, that 18-yard box striker, that 25 goal a season striker. So it's going to be interesting to see how, you know, what we do. A good penalty taker too, says Aldo. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And John says he may also not have the ego coming from a big club in relation to Ivan Toney. And that's very, very important as well, John. I totally agree with what you're saying there. And it's something that is going to be highly important, I think. It goes back to what we heard an awful lot from Ralf Rangnick when he was the coach, that you get these players in that have a point to prove, that want to come and improve, that want to come and make a name for themselves, that want to come and cement their place in the team. And I think Ivan Toney, like you said, absolutely fits that bill. He's proven in the Premier League. He can score goals. I think he would fit into Ten Hag's system, and he's coming to make a name for himself. And you're ticking a lot of boxes there, so absolutely, I do agree. Jube says, some wages to be saved with Ronaldo and Greenwood to be shed, and maybe Van de Beek as well, and Phil Jones. Yeah, absolutely. But I think, look, Manchester United are always going to have a high wage bill, given the, I suppose, the quality of player you're always going to try and get into the club. You know, now, I do agree, obviously, when Ronaldo does leave, that's, you know, $500,000 plus a week that you're going to be saving in wages. But I do think that we should be reinvesting that into other players, getting, you know, quality players in. I don't think we should be giving players silly money under no circumstances. But if there's an extra 500,000 a week available when Cristiano Ronaldo leaves, rather than, you know, the Glazers taking that out in dividends, I would prefer if we put that into signing more players and improving the squad, you know. So, absolutely. Prediction for Manchester United versus Tottenham. I'm going to do that tomorrow night tomorrow on my preview video. So, I should be uploading it in the afternoon tomorrow. So, keep an eye on the YouTube channel there. We were robbed yesterday, says Tommy. Yeah, I mean, look, the main talking points again have been VAR, haven't they? Miko says, Ivan Toney as a number 9 for me. Chris says, I would take Gakpo as well. Rashford maybe on the way out. You can't let Ronaldo go without a replacement. And Toney looks similar to Haller at Ajax. Very similar, absolutely. And I do agree with all your points there. I don't see us letting Cristiano Ronaldo leave in January. I just don't see it happening. We haven't got the cover. We're already, you know, paper thin in, you know, on our forward line. I can't see us letting Cristiano Ronaldo leave without bringing in a replacement. So I wouldn't be surprised if we do go out and even sign an Ivan Toney in the January transfer window and just hold on to Cristiano Ronaldo anyway until the summer. You know, I wouldn't be surprised. And Miko says, a striker with consistency and clinical ability is what's needed. And for me, Ivan Toney has that. Absolutely. Absolutely. And let's see what people are saying on TikTok here. Carl is in. Good to see you, pal. Darren says, Fred isn't good enough for our midfield, and yet we let Garner leave for free. Mental it is. Absolutely. I said it at the time. Fred would be the ideal player for Everton. So he would. David says, I agree about Toney, but the thought of United pursuing an English centre forward. Well, I think the last one is Wayne Rooney, isn't it? CTM says, we should have won the game yesterday. We were robbed. I agree, guys. Yeah, I absolutely do agree. Are you any good at football yourself? No, not really. Well, I played for 20 years, but only at a local level. But yeah. So anyway, look, on to the next player. And look, obviously we're going to be having the you know, the main player now. These are players and these are strikers that I'm going to mention now that I don't think we will be going for in January, but I think there would certainly be options for us if we're going for all out for a tier one striker in the summer. Now obviously the main two players that come to mind, and anyone who's watching my content for a while will know how much I like this player. The main one for me is Christopher Nkunku. I think he's an absolutely fantastic player. Obviously, we know he's playing for RB Leipzig in the Bundesliga. And he's been putting up some good numbers. He really has. In relation to last season, he put up some phenomenal numbers. It has to be said. Throughout all competitions, he played in, obviously, the Bundesliga, the German Cup. He played in the Champions League and the Europa League. He played a total of 52 games with 35 goals and 20 assists throughout the season. And that is just absolute phenomenal figures. Now, he does play as a second striker. Okay, so he's not your so-called out-and-out number nine. But I think he would certainly fit into an Erik ten Hag style of play. Now, can we go out and get a Christopher Nkunku? It's going to be very, very difficult. You know, let's call a spade a spade. You know, I don't think that, you know, Manchester United are going to be the only team in for him in the summer. There's talks of Chelsea being in for him. There's talks of him going to Spain. There's talks of him you know, I think even been linked with the likes of PSG, things like that, if Mbappe and stuff were to leave. So, look, it's going to be, and this is just a player that, you know, that's, you know, on my radar, more so than Manchester United's radar, I think he would be a very good signing. So, obviously, I'm not going to spend too much time on him. But, you know, given the numbers he's putting up, I do think he would be in the running for Manchester United to be looking at, not in January, but potentially in the summer. So, yeah, but again, he's the type of player that you're looking at that you probably wouldn't get for any less than 100 million. So, you know, it all depends on next summer how much money is available to Manchester United, whether we win for the likes of an Nkunku. But the other one, and probably the more realistic option for us, if we were to wait for the summer, is Victor Osimhen. And obviously, Victor Osimhen is playing for Napoli in Serie A. Now, you do have here a very good centre forward. 23 years of age, so he's, you know, you will be signing him at the ideal time. You know, young, hungry, again looking to make a name for himself. You know, and he's, again, he's put up some good numbers over the last couple of years. Last season in all competitions, he played 32 games, scored 18 goals with 6 assists. So again, look, you're looking at a goal every other game. So I do think this is a more realistic option for Manchester United. You are going to be getting your out-and-out centre-forward. You probably would get him for around... I'd be surprised if you got him for less than... probably 65 to 70 million we're probably looking at for an Osimhen. So it is a more realistic option for Manchester United if they are looking to go out for, you know, and sign a number 9. And I do think... His stats have shown that, you know, he is well capable. And again, he fits into the bracket of, and again, I go back and mention the likes of Ralf Rangnick when he was a manager. You're signing these young, hungry players that are looking to make a name for themselves under first or second contracts. So, you know, absolutely, you know. And again, his stats have been good this season. He's played 8 games so far this season with 4 goals and an assist. So he's continued on from his form last year. So I certainly do think that he would be a good option for United as well. Let's see... Nathan says, Nkunku not signed for Chelsea? If maybe he has, I haven't heard it. I really haven't. If he has, it's a savage signing for him. Midges Man says, too many teams in for Nkunku. Price would be silly. Yeah, and look, I don't really think that you're going to have a bidding war between clubs, because I think a club sets their price for a player, and if they say 100 million for Nkunku and 7 clubs come in with a bid of 100 million, they'll accept all 7. And it's down to the player then just to choose, you know. So I do think if he was available for 100 million, United had the funds to go and get him, I think an offer should be tabled for him, and then it's up to the player to make his mind up. Seamus says, would you sell Rashford then? Well, I wouldn't sell Rashford, but I don't think Rashford is good enough to be playing as a centre forward. I really don't. I think he's too hot and cold. I think he's... I'll say it, I just don't think he's good enough. I think he's better off the left-hand side, but even off of the left-hand side, you know, long-term, unless he pulls out some unbelievably consistent form over the next 6 to 12 months, I can see Rashford being played as a squad player, you know, the further we get into the Erik ten Hag reign, because we are going to sign more players. We are going to sign, you know, more wingers. And if you look at Manchester United, reports have confirmed today that Manchester United have sent scouts to watch Rafael, I don't know how to pronounce it, Liao of AC Milan, and there's your left winger right there, you know. So I think competition is going to get more difficult for Rashford the longer we get into the Erik ten Hag reign, and the more transfer windows we have under Ten Hag, because he's not going to stop trying to improve this squad. He's going to try and improve it window on window all of the time, and as it should be, you know. As much as everybody loves Marcus Rashford and he's a homegrown player, that doesn't get you very far. You know, if you're not putting performances in, week out, and there's players at the club, players within the squad that are performing consistently better than you, then bye-bye. You know, I'm sorry. Tony at Brentford made be a shout. Yeah, we mentioned him already. Ben, absolutely. It'll ruin his career going to United. They ruin players. Well, that was in the past, Dave. We've certainly got some good signings this season that are constantly improving. Rashford needs a move, but we need better in first. I wouldn't be surprised. Martin says, I think people need to chill. This is a long brew, not instant coffee. We need time. I totally agree with you, Martin, and it's something that I am preaching as much as possible. Anytime I talk about Erik ten Hag and Manchester United in general, that this is a marathon, it's not a sprint. The great examples there over the last 5 and 6 years of the two teams that have been dominating English football have been Man City and Liverpool. Martin, thanks for the gifts. Really appreciate it, pal. Man City and Liverpool, you know, and it took time. Liverpool, specifically under Klopp, it took 3 years before Klopp, you know, developed a team that he could go on and challenge and win the big trophies with. So we're 3 months into Erik ten Hag's reign. Let's not judge him now. Let's judge him after 3 years and see where he is then and see what kind of a squad he's formed and see the improvements that he's made with players that are still at the club, you know, from previous regimes. So I'm in absolutely no hurry under ten Hag. I think we now have an identity, which is good to see. We finally can see the remnants of a squad and a team that we can actually get behind and that I actually like for once, which is strange to say. Over the last 5-6 years, maybe the early days of Solskjaer's reign before he was made permanent when we went on that great run, that was a very likeable team, but I think that was more so down to Solskjaer being there. But the team specifically now and the squad in general, I think it's a squad that I actually like and that we can get behind. Now, we're nowhere near the finished article, absolutely not. But it's good that we have a bit of an identity. Ten Hag knows what he wants to do. He knows the direction he wants to go in, and he's not fucking moving for anybody. He's going to stay on that road, and if players don't, you know, if they don't stay on the tarmac, then they just fall off the wagon, you know, and off you go, and let's get someone else in your place. And I think that's the way it has to be. I really do. Another player as well that I forgot to mention that Manchester United have been linked with in recent weeks and months, maybe throughout the transfer window as well, is Tammy Abraham of AS Roma. Sorry, and again, this is a player that's played in the Premier League. You're getting a centre forward. You're getting a big, strong centre forward. Another player that, like we said, has played in the Premier League, so knows the league, and his figures have been decent. They have been decent. Like, they haven't maybe, I mean, well, last year was good for him, you'd have to say. Let me just filter it here by seasons. So last year, Tammy Abraham, he played in all competitions. He played 53 games with 27 goals and 5 assists. So that is pretty good figures, you know, and they are good figures. Now, I know he was in the Premier League and he did leave, but, you know, he's still a young man. Carol, thanks for the gifts. Really appreciate it. He is still a young man. He's 25 years of age. Let me just double check. Yeah, 25 years of age. So, again, you're going to be getting a player that's coming perfectly into his prime. And a big, strong centre-forward that's been lighting up Serie A over the last couple of seasons, you would have to say. You know, he is a player that, I certainly wouldn't be against. I really wouldn't. Let's see what people are saying. We'll go back through some of the comments here on YouTube. Chris says, we need another box-to-box midfielder. When Eriksen is out, we have no options. And then he says, Nkunku was signing for Chelsea. Let's see. He's a better number 10 than Bruno. RB Salzburg said to be open to sell Nsesko for 60 million to make profit. Osimhen will not be less than 80 million. Tammy Abraham would be less. Chris says, Liao will be at least 150 million. And Twig said, Rashford makes me cry when he's this bad. Yeah, so look, he's been frustrating. He's just so hot and cold, really, isn't he? And I think that is... I think that's the frustrating thing about it more than anything else. But again, look, will we sign players in January? That is the million-dollar question more than anything else. Regardless of who we sign, the question is, are we actually going to go out and sign players? Now, Fabrizio Romano did mention today that the messages he's getting from Man United is still the same regarding transfers, that their focus remains on next summer more so than January. Now, Erik ten Hag has been very defiant over the fact that he does want players in January. So it's going to be interesting to see what does happen in the January transfer window. And I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't sign anybody in January. We seen it last January. Ralf Rangnick came out and he specifically said we need to improve in January if we want to make top four. And he was basically ignored by the board and we didn't sign anybody, you know, so it could easily happen again. Wayne says Rashford will be fine. He's getting into goal scoring positions. He wasn't doing that last season. Yeah, he certainly is. I'm just talking specifically with Rashford as a number nine, Wayne. I don't think he's a number nine option. I think he's better playing on the left. Aiden says, are you the fella that does be on Today FM or News Talk, one of those? I'm not, Aiden. I'm not. Maybe someday, but as of now, it's just this, I'm afraid. Dave says, you've ruined Wan-Bissaka, you've ruined Van de Beek. Well, Wan-Bissaka wasn't a good player before he came to us. And Van de Beek has got numerous chances. And he's been a player that's been amazing under our current coach at Ajax. And he's not been able to do it. So I think that says more about them two players than it does about the current coach himself. I'm not going to try and defend the previous regimes because they've been very poor. But the current one, Wan-Bissaka can't get into that team because he's not good enough. And Van de Beek can't get into it because he's not good enough. So that says more about the player than it does about the coaches. Midges Man says, teams lack identity for a while. Fear factor needs to be brought back to Old Trafford. That'll come. And that's what I'm saying in relation to giving the manager and the team and the coaches time. You know, victories and results will breed confidence, and if you can do that on a consistent basis over a couple of seasons, that fear factor will start to creep back in for opposition teams and Old Trafford will start to feel like a fortress again. This is going to take time. It's going to take time. We're in no hurry. I'm not going to stop supporting Manchester United, and now that we are going in a direction that we can all get on board with, I'm happy, you know. And there's going to be bumps in the road like yesterday. You know, and, you know, like the last maybe week or so, we could go out now and lose to Spurs on Wednesday and maybe lose to Chelsea on the weekend as well. But it's not going to be the end of the world in relation to the long-term vision and the long-term goal that Ten Hag has for this team and this club, you know. So that's what I'm all about. We're just going to have to take the rough with the smooth over the next couple of years. That's all it is. Let's see what people are saying here. We definitely need another right back. Says user. I'm an LFC fan. Well happy, says T. I bet you are. Good performance out of Liverpool yesterday, I have to say. I don't hear any Liverpool fans complaining about VAR this weekend, though, like they were the previous weekend. Martin says, Gakpo has the smell of a RVP and RVN. I think that's the one you put it all into next window. There you go. And everyone is going to have their opinions, you know, and who they think is going to be the right fit. But, you know, it all comes down to the manager's choice at the end of the day. Wan-Bissaka was awesome at Palace. You're spouting nonsense. Okay, Dev, let me just explain to you here, all right? Let me just explain what I'm saying here. Aaron Wan-Bissaka is probably one of the best one-on-one defenders in the league, okay? But that doesn't make him a good player. He has a very bad first touch. His passing is atrocious. He can't cross the ball. He can't link up going forward as a right-back. All of them said... I'm just after naming five negatives there. He has one good attribute, and that's 1v1 defending. And I understand that defender's job is to defend first and foremost. I totally agree. But the modern day fullback has to be able to do more. And Erik ten Hag expects more out of the fullbacks. That's why he's not good enough. Simple as. Midge's man just auto-renewed his subscription. You're an absolute legend. I appreciate it, pal. Anyone else who wants to subscribe to the TikTok channel, guys, you can do it up above. You get some extra content. You can actually join these lives if you wish. So if Midge's man wants to jump in and join and get his opinion in, he certainly can. And you get some extra content as well. And you get your name on a player in our fantasy, or sorry, not our fantasy, in our career mode on FIFA 23. So if you want to get that, some extra content, check it out up above. Samuel says, Man United should start Alejandro Garnacho, Charlie McNeil, Zidane, Iqbal against Tottenham Hotspur. I wouldn't go that far in terms of putting them all in, because I think it would be too much pressure on too many young players. But I certainly am in favour of them guys getting a run, you know, and getting some game time. Absolutely, absolutely. I hope Bellingham is our main target, says Midges Man. Kid's different class. Absolutely, but he will probably fall in to the bracket of an Nkunku or a Liao that every team in Europe is going to be in for him. So they are going to be hard to get. And I am sure that Erik ten Hag is going to have some backup options, you know, and he's going to have, you know, primary, secondary, tertiary options, you know. But we'll see what happens. Manchester United has Ethan Laird, who was on loan at Queen's Park Rangers. There you go. And he's a better right back than Diego Dalo, says Samuel. Would you rather Fred or McTominay to partner Casemiro in midfield? Neither, because they're both defensive players. And I think Casemiro, the way he's playing and how good he is as a CDM, I think he can let him do it on his own. I think he can be the one defensive player we have in our midfield, and play Bruno and Eriksen together as much as possible, because they're both more attacking players. Because we want attacking football. We don't want two defensive players out of three in the centre of midfield, you know. Now, obviously, there are going to be games where you might have to do that against better opposition. But the majority of time, I would prefer to have Casemiro on his own and have two attacking players ahead of him. Let's see what other people are saying here. Boom, boom. Let's see. Aaron Bissaka needs to play when we need to defend, says Kevin. I'm a Manchester United fan, says Zane. Good to see you, pal. Donny van de Beek would suit AC Milan because the Premier League just doesn't suit him. And Fazian says, Bellingham is discussing with Jurgen Klopp, so he might sign with Liverpool. MUFC says, it wouldn't surprise me if we spend the whole transfer window on De Jong again. Well, there has been reports suggested that Ten Hag wants to go back in for him. Now, I think he would be a lot easier to buy next summer than he was last summer, given how poor Barcelona are doing at the moment. You can see they were hockey 3-1 in El Clasico, and they're basically out of the Champions League as well, and going to be dropping down into the Europa League. So, I wouldn't be surprised if Manchester United go back in for De Jong. I really wouldn't. Warren says, why do we continue to play Fernandes? He should rest. And again, that goes back to something that, you know, I've said it a good few times now, that I still think our squad depth is quite poor. Look, we do have young players there, and I don't think throwing a lot of young players in a lot of the time is the best thing, both for the squad in relation to results and for their personal development as well. So, yeah, look, I do think we need to bulk the squad up. I think we do need another central midfielder. I think we need another right back. I think we need a centre forward. And I think we need another winger. So that's four straight away. And then you can look at potentially, you know, bringing in a better backup option at centre back, a better goalkeeper, you know, maybe another striker if Martial can't stay fit, you know. So yeah, I think there are, you know, primary areas of the team that we do need to improve on before we look at other options. Absolutely. Midges Man says, they play him out of position. Barca are a joke at the moment. Absolutely. Samuel says, Barcelona has only themselves to blame for their financial woes. I agree, and I hope they go under. I really do, because the way they've been treating their players has been disgraceful. De Jong, case in point, that, you know, bringing in new signings, paying them ridiculous wages, but current players who have a contract that they signed and that Barcelona agreed to give them, they're not paying them. You know, it's an absolute disgrace. MUFC said, do you think we need a new goalkeeper? Long term, I think we do. Yeah, long term, I think we do. I love David De Gea. Been a great servant for the club. And if he stays on, he stays on. I will be happy with him if Ten Hag is happy with him. But I think long term, the way Eric Ten Hag wants to play, I think Ten Hag will go for a new goalkeeper. He will. There's talks of Costa. There's talks of maybe a swap deal with Oblak from Atletico Madrid, you know. So I think it's an area that we probably will see some traction on. If not in January, maybe next summer. United are going to wait till later in the season before they decide to trigger De Gea's one-year extension. So if they don't trigger it, he'll go for free in the summer. But look, guys, that's it so far. Look, I've really enjoyed it. I do think Manchester United are going to be in for a striker in January. My gut tells me I think we will. I think Ten Hag is desperate to bulk up the squad as much as possible. But that all depends then on whether the board back him and the board give him money in January. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised if they don't, to be quite honest. But look, we're going to leave it there, guys. I really appreciate everyone who's listened, who's left a comment, who's liked, who's shared, who's subscribed. If you haven't already done so, follow us on all of our socials. We're United Community Channel on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter. We're on Snapchat. We're on Discord. We have a Fantasy Premier League as well. So check it all out. Link is on my homepage if you're watching on TikTok. And you can scan the QR code on the screen on YouTube as well. And if anyone is listening back to this as a podcast, I would appreciate it if you give us a 5-star rating wherever you're listening, and follow and subscribe as well. I really do appreciate it. But thanks everyone who joined, guys. We'll be back on Wednesday night for the watch along against Spurs. I hope you can all join me then. But until then, take care.